So we're going to continue on and looking at the armor of God that Paul talks about in Ephesians chapter 6. We've come to the fourth piece of armor, the shield of faith. A shield was used to protect the warriors from arrows of the enemy, from spears of the enemy. My question is, though, when you think of a shield, what image pops in your mind? What image pops in your mind? If you're like most of us, or if you're like me, you would have an image of a small round shield like this. That's what most of us think about when we think of a shield. But see, in the Greek, there's two words for shield. One is for this small shield, and one is for a much larger shield, and that's the word that's used here. It's a shield that's about 2 feet wide, 2.5 feet wide, and about 4 feet tall. According to ancient historians, this large door-shaped shield was composed of two layers of wood and then a layer of skin or hide, which would extinguish the arrows, the fiery arrows, as they came in. The shield protected the body of the soldiers and the other pieces of the armor. Without the shield, the armor of the soldier actually had spaces in it, and the arrows could get in. So the shield was actually a very important piece of their armor. I read when I was doing my research, and again, this is on the internet, so not 100% sure if we can take this as gospel truth, but of one soldier who had counted the arrows after their attack, and there was 220 arrows in his shield. That's a lot of arrows. As Paul was in prison and saw the Roman soldiers there with their shields, what was the Holy Spirit saying to Paul? What was he talking to him about? Well, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. The first words we see here is in addition to all of this. In other words, in addition to the other armor that you've already put on, is Paul saying that this is the most important piece of armor? No, he's not saying that. He's saying you need this with the other armor. It's a very important piece of armor. And you need to take it up. Because this shield will protect you from the schemes of Satan, from his fiery darts, from his flaming arrows. And again, the other armor, it will protect the other armor as well. In taking up the shield, we need to remind ourselves that this shield is part of God's armor as well. As we take it. It is part of God's armor. But this isn't something Paul just invented. He didn't just come up with this idea of the shield of faith. Because we read in the Old Testament that the shield of faith is there. We read about the shield. I mean, right back in Genesis chapter 15... God's talking, or the writer's talking about Abram and talking about how Abram's faith is accounted unto him as righteousness. And that's around verse 6 of chapter 15. But if you go back to verse 1 of chapter 15, listen to this. Genesis 15, verse 1, it says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield. Your very great reward. I am your shield." That's God speaking there. And he's saying to Abram, "I am your shield." And that same thought permeates the Psalms. For at least 20 verses in the Psalms, the writers write and about people putting their trust and their faith in God, who is described as their shield or their fortress. He is the one who protects us from our enemy, from Satan's schemes, from his fiery darts, from his arrows. In Psalm 7, verse 10, David wrote, "My shield is God Most High, who saves the upright in heart." And the writer of Psalm 91, verse 4 wrote, "He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wing you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart." God's faithfulness will be our shield. How faithful is God? Very faithful. Yeah. So if he's very faithful, and that's our shield, how strong is our shield? It's very strong. It's there. If we continue to read in Proverbs, we see Solomon writing that God is a shield for those who take refuge in him. It's interesting that Paul exhorts us to take up the shield of faith, and as we look back at the Old Testament, we realize that that shield is God himself. He is the one who protects us from the attacks of Satan. He is the one who is there for us, who stands in front of us as a door. He is the one we trust in. Are we getting this mental picture? This is a shield of faith, which Paul is talking about as described as a door. They talked about it as a door. In other words, it was in front of them, which they could get behind. Remember we said, maybe I didn't say it, but it is the first defense. That shield is the first thing that the enemy comes against before they can get to the soldier. The enemy had to get past the shield, the door, to get to the soldier. So, if God is our shield, we need to ask ourselves, how safe are we? Can the enemy really get by God? Do we need to fear anything? If God is our shield of faith, can anything get past him? Of course not. Let me tell you a little story. When I was 12 years old, I don't know if it was the first time I was babysitting or the second or how many times I had babysat my brother and sister. They were younger, and things weren't going very well. In fact, I became angry. And I was going to forcefully show them who had the authority. I was the babysitter, and they need to respect me. So I thought I would go after them and catch them. But they ran into the bathroom and slammed the door shut. And I heard the lock go click. Well, do you know, the only way I could get to them was to get through that door. And I flung myself against that door a few times. But at 12 years old, I had no weight, no real strength. And I didn't really get through the door. And my brother and sister were basically, I don't know if they were laughing. They were probably a little more fearful. But they knew they were safe as long as they stayed behind the door. We are safe as we stay behind the door, behind the shield of faith. God is that door, our shield which protects us. Therefore, as Christians, we have nothing to fear of Satan. We don't have to fear wickedness. We don't have to fear future events. To get through to the other pieces of armor, to get to us, the enemy has to get past God first. And there is no chance of that. He is the good shepherd. He lays down his life for us. He died for our sins. That's what we just celebrated, communion. He died for our sins. He He is the God, our shield, who puts out all the fiery darts. Yet, if we look around, it seems like those fiery darts get through. I mean, has anybody sinned here lately? No? No, you're all good. But you know, those fiery darts get through. The temptation seems to get past the shield and gets to us, and we seem to fall for that. So what's the problem? Is God not that great of a shield? Is God just going, oh, here, deal with this. I'm going on a vacation. No, no. That's not how it works. If God is our shield, the darts can't get past. And I think the answer lies in Ephesians 6:16. Where it states, in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Did you see the answer why we can extinguish all the fiery darts? Paul says, take up the shield of faith. Take up, pick it up, use it. You see, the only fiery darts that can get past the shield is only when we allow the temptations, when we put down the shield, when we put it off to the side, or we don't take it up to start with in the morning. We need to have that shield there all the time. Let me explain it to you this way. A couple of weeks ago, my three grandsons were staying for a few days. And I shared with you, because I shot my rival gun here, my Nerf gun here, one day. I don't know how many of you remember when I did that. And there was actually a bullet in it, and I didn't know that. But they were here, and we had a major Nerf gun fight from about 12:30 in the afternoon to supper time. There was yellow balls all over the house. But Sam, one of my grandsons, most of you know him, he made this shield. He actually made this. He had this little shield and realized that wasn't going to do much good. So he taped with his duct tape. He's a man. He's got duct tape. He taped this lid onto it. And do you know that those little guys, if they get behind this shield, I could not get them. I couldn't get them. My bullets, they could hide behind this thing, and I couldn't get them. I'm surprised all three of them didn't have shields. But if they let down their shield a little bit or let it off to the side, Papa took his chances and got them. They didn't last long. It's not really fair, though. There's three of them and only one of me. You see, as long as we are behind the shield of faith, as long as we are behind God, as long as we keep the shield up, the fiery darts hit the shield. And the shield extinguishes them. God extinguishes them. It's when we let the shield down that the darts get to us. The temptation gets to us. And we start to allow the temptation to get through. When we begin to trust ourselves, when we begin to trust our own strength, so we drop our shield, and instead of walking in faith with God, that's when the darts get through. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verses 6, and the first part of verse 7, so then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in faith as you were taught. How did we accept Jesus Christ as Lord? It's not a trick question. How did you do it? By faith, right? Yeah. In our hearts, by faith. It was all by faith. And Paul's saying, look, you walked by faith when you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. Don't stop now. Don't put the shield down now. You need to walk by faith. You need to live by faith. Yet for some reason, it's really easy to accept Jesus by faith. But after we get going, we start to go, oh, I can do this on my own. I don't need to pray about this. I can go here. I can do that. We need to continue to live by faith. We might do okay for a while, but eventually we will get defeated. Why the New Testament, we are encouraged to live by faith. The word live is active and ongoing. In other words, it means we are to never lower or set aside the shield of faith. Victory over Satan's schemes, victory over his fiery arrows comes only by walking by faith and having complete trust and confidence in God as our shield. So how do we take up that shield of faith? Well, simply put, it is making God first place in our lives. It is taking him at his word and putting that word into action, whether it looks weird and whether it looks strange to the world around us, it's still putting that word into action. So taking up the shield of faith is putting God first. It's loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. God needs to be number one above all else, above all people. God needs to be number one above my wife, above my children, above my grandchildren, above all things. Above my vehicles, above my tent trailer, above my home. Above all ventures, whatever ventures are happening. God needs to be number one. And then God needs to put on the shield of faith is to taking God at his word. And we talked about that last week. And if you missed that, you can go online and listen to it. It's there. We need to take God at his word. God said it, and that makes it final. God said not to lie, so we just believe. We shouldn't lie. If it's written in the Bible, we believe it. Not that we take things out of context. And then we need to take what we believe and put it into action. That is picking up the shield of faith, is when we take what we believe and put it into action. I mean, that's exactly what Cassidy is doing. God spoke to her. God is number one in her life. And he spoke to her. And she's heard him. And she's putting it into action. Isn't that what we see in Abraham? God told him to leave the land and his family and to go to the promised land. And what did Abraham do? He did it. What about Moses? He saw the burning bush. He was at the burning bush. And God said, go back to Egypt and free the people. And what did Moses do? He heard, he believed in God. He heard and he went and did it. And we can go on and Joshua and the walls of Jericho, like, okay, God, that's a little crazy, walking around the walls seven times and the walls are going to come tumbling down. No, Joshua, God was number one in Joshua's life. God told him to go walk around the walls of Jericho seven times and the walls will come crashing down. And the walls came crashing down. He did it. And we can talk about David when he was anointed as king and others throughout history. And now Cassidy's going to be in history. She heard God. She did it. We read in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, about many who live by faith. They each took their shield of faith. Were they perfect? No, they weren't perfect. But they realized when they had fallen, when they had let their shield of faith down, they quickly turned and asked God to forgive them and got that shield of faith back into place. Each one of them knew, as Hebrews 11:6 states, and without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists, and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. We began this journey with Jesus by faith. We need to continue it by taking up the shield of faith. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 9, in the last half, declares, if you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. If we do not stand firm in our faith, we won't stand at all. If we put the shield down, if we don't stand, we're not going to stand at all. Have we taken up the shield of faith so we can stand? That's the question we have to ask ourselves. Are we taking up that shield of faith daily so we can stand against Satan's fiery darts and his schemes? Let us put on the full armor of God each and every day, taking up the shield of faith, putting on those shoes fitted with readiness, the breastplate of righteousness, and the belt of truth. In this way, as we do those things, we will stand against the enemy.